Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your hosts, Bell Star
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers Health, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Good morning, kid. Are you there?
I'm here, Belle. How are you doing?
All right. I'm good. It's kind of strange having you in computer land. I'm used
on
to having
cell phone
right
land.
Next
oh
to my side here.
This
is Belle Star and the Cannabis Kid, and it is Weed Day Wednesday, December 4th. What year is this? 2000 what now? 13, 14, 15? Jeez. Have we legalized and regulated it yet?
not yet. But we're working on it. We are working on it.
How's your day going? What's going on over there?
It's good. I'm spending some time with the family. Yep. Got my mom and dad here at the house, so I'm hanging out. And I got to get some stuff done for the holidays. As you know, that it is December.
It is.
And it kind of snuck up on us.
Very much so.
I think
there's not much time left.
I just can't believe how fast this year went. So.
Well, yeah.
I'm doing well, though.
A little time. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, we would like to always thank, do a little shout-out to Blog Talk Radio, Growers House. If you haven't visited their new location, 1501 East 21st Street, it's awesome. It's gargantuan. It's huge. You should definitely go see it. Right, kid?
They should. They actually needed a bigger space. With the way that things are growing here in Arizona and Tucson especially, we are knowing that there's a lot more people out there using cannabis and getting their hands dirty, so to speak.
Yes, there are. Well, if you live in the Tucson area or if you shop for hydroponics online, you can visit thegrowershouse.com. for wholesale price hydroponic equipment, or go down to their warehouse type store. It's awesome. They offer free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, a price match guarantee, not to mention Growers House staff are experienced growers, and they can help you get started and succeeding in all your growing endeavors. They are really awesome people down there.
They really are.
Yeah, you know what? I was reading an article this morning about cannabis and the kinds of things that you can find in your medicine that you don't want. So we'd like to thank Accurate Med Testing for making sure that we have safe medicine in Arizona that we can consume, because it's really, really important that you know not only where your medicine's coming from, but that it's been tested and that it's safe and, you know, cootie-free. We don't want any of those chemicals, and especially the article I was reading was talking about mold and pesticides and things of that nature that you might not know are in there. And they even talked about, like, you know, dead bug bodies. But, geez, you know, if you're growing outdoor, what bug isn't going to want to sit on your plant? They're beautiful and hang out. And so they might get stuck in your THC molecule crystals and happen to, you know, end their little beautiful peaceful lives there. Well, it's protein.
Right.
What, you know.
Go with it.
As long as there's no chemicals or molds or, you know, things like that in it, you're pretty good. But thank you, Accurate Med Testing, for testing the meds of Arizona.
The other great thing about knowing what's in your medication is the cannabinoids, knowing what percentage each cannabinoid is in your medicine, and knowing what works for your body and what doesn't.
This is true. This is true, and that's one of the things they said they're testing for is the CBD, CBN, all sorts of CBDs.
Yeah,
it's all good.
So if you know of a cannabinoid out there that works best for your body, that's what this testing does. It actually checks and finds what kind of cannabinoids are actually in each strain. And I actually have an article on that coming up later in the show.
Oh, good. That's excellent.
Yeah. How to find your strain.
Oh, good. That's good. There's some good places that help you do that. And one of those places is Mary Jane's Survival Guide. It's a great little patient guide that you can find around town. You can come to Tumbleweed Health Center and find it if you like. It's a medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking MMJ information in the state of Arizona. Recipes, pictures, articles, dispensaries, and more. MJSurvival.com. Also, check out AZMarijuana.com for all your latest news. And they've got some like products of the day and all sorts of really fun stuff on that site. So check it out. It's really great. AZMarijuana.com. And our Tumbleweed Health Center, when they have specials, like they had a Black Friday special. It was awesome. They had a Cyber Monday special. And it's all listed on their website, TumbleweedHealthCenter.com, and on AZMarijuana.com, as well as some other places. Check it out. What else, Candace Kid? Check it out. All right, what we got on the news this morning?
Well,
this is a we can just shoot the tube here. What you got? Well, did you know? Okay, here's some Arizona news. There's some really great news about Uruguay, but we'll go for a little local news. So Arizona dispensaries now have the ability to open their their dispensaries at any location except within 500 feet of schools. It was ruled.
Wow.
Yeah, a ruling by Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Michael Gordon ruled that Maricopa County failed to create reasonable zoning standards in compliance with state law, so they are now forbidden from enforcing any zoning regulations or restrictions on medical marijuana dispensaries. All right. I know, isn't that great? So, I'm not even going to say it. The only restriction for dispensaries is that they must be further than 500 feet from schools. Arizona dispensaries will now be able to next to grocery stores, malls, or in strip malls, for example, where, as before, strict zoning restricted dispensaries from opening in industrial areas such as air parks. And it all started with a lawsuit which began in 2012 when the White Mountain Health Center, a should-be dispensary, and lawyer Jeffrey Kaufman sued Maricopa County after the county's zoning department refused to assist White Mountain Health Center in complying with the state's dispensary licensing requirements. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and the ACLU of Arizona also assisted attorney Jeff Kaufman as co-counsel in the case. All right. Way to go, dispensary. Nice.
That is awesome. I had a feeling that case was going to really take off and start doing something for the cannabis community. I know how big of an uproar it caused. And, you know, it's people speaking up about their rights. And what the White Mountain officers did and what we're trying to do up there was really just not right.
Yeah. Well, it isn't. But now, you know, they're fixing things, so to speak. Hopefully this will help dispensaries. I know. I think it's going to pull a lot of dispensaries out of the faraway corners of Arizona and bring them closer to the bigger cities, which for those folk out there is probably pretty good. They'll be able to grow. Yeah.
Right.
And you go shopping at Safeway and then go hit up your local dispensary. And speaking of that, it's awesome. There is there's an Arizona marijuana legislation bill that will be proposed by the House Democrats. Assistant House Minority Leader Ruben Gallego, a Phoenix Democrat, announced plans to introduce a marijuana legislation bill during the upcoming legislation session. Gallego, an Iraq War veteran, said he's working on a bill that would regulate and tax marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol. And before we get ahead of ourselves, yes, Republicans still have a healthy majority in both chambers of legislature, and several Republicans still try to fight the state's voter-approved medical marijuana program. But what Gallego is proposing isn't anything radically different from laws in states like Colorado and Washington, which have legalized marijuana for personal use. He says the bill will allow people 21 and over to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana and have no more than 5 plants. The legislation also will set up a ban on smoking it in public and establish regulations for places that can sell marijuana. The bill also will include an excise tax on pot sales, which distributes the tax proceeds to fund public education and treatment programs for alcohol and drug abuse, with half of the money going to the state general fund. And he issued a statement saying, "The issue of marijuana regulation is pragmatic. Regulating marijuana takes sales off the street and puts them in a controlled environment. Ultimately, this will help law enforcement, especially in times when resources are limited. About 750,000 Americans were arrested for marijuana-related offenses in 2012, and the majority of those arrests were simply for possession. Law enforcement officers' time and resource would be better spent addressing serious crimes so that we are all safer. Additionally, we can use some of the money generated from the sales to pay for public education and treatment programs for alcohol and drug abuse. According to a poll on the issue, a majority, 56% of Arizona said they support marijuana legalization." There you go.
Wow. There it is.
There it is. That's pretty awesome. We could see that as soon as 2014.
I also found another one. It was through High Times, and it says a secret bill would legalize marijuana on a federal level. At the beginning of 2013, Colorado Representative Jared Polis jumped into Washington, D.C.'s with all bongs blazing and introduced a controversial new bill aimed at abolishing the current state of marijuana prohibition across the United States. Unfortunately, the bill, House Resolution 499, has been forced to the back of the line. The three-piece henchmen under Uncle Sam's thumb, and many believe that it will not be able to generate enough support to pull it from its shallow grave inside the committee. Nevertheless, this bill, entitled Ending Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act of 2013, does not, in fact, exist. And in its mission is simply indisturbable. Indisturbably clear. To fully legalize cannabis for American citizens and give them back the right to smoke weed without fear of being judged, grudged, humped over on all fours. Backbiters of the nation know as a state of federal prosecutors. According to the H.R. 499 summary, the bill eliminates marijuana as a controlled substance for the purpose of controlled substances, Import and Export Acts, or the National Forest System Drug Control Act of 1986. The dangerous drug for purpose of federal criminal code provisions authorizing interception of communications, a targeted drug for purpose of provisions of the National Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign under the Office of National Drug Control Policy Act of 1998. So there's a lot of stuff going on as far as moving things around and making this, getting it out of a, as far as being a controlled substance, or switching its level of being a controlled substance from, what is it, 4 to a 1?
Yeah, well, it's Schedule 1 now. We need it to go down to a 4 or 5.
We need it to go to a 4 or 5, right.
I don't know if you know about, there's 5 schedules of drugs, and they each overlap of, on each other to kind of piggyback, but 4 and 5, I think, basically say you can, they're for medical purpose.
Right. There's a reason why it's in that category.
Really cool. Yeah. One's basically saying don't even touch this. You know, and then it goes down from there, and 2, and then 3, and then 4. What? 2 is cocaine? That's okay? Yeah, cocaine's okay. Marijuana is deadly, and cocaine is okay. All right. Well, that's it.
Good.
You want to hear about the BBC? Check this out. There are cannabis scratch and sniff cards handed out. Yes, you heard that right. A council is handing out scratch-and-sniff cannabis cards scented with the smell of marijuana to residents to raise awareness of drugs in the area. Birmingham City Council said they have evicted 20 residents this year for cultivating cannabis in social housing. Joan Cummings spoke to Councillor Carrie McCarthy and Mike Hall from West Midlands Police. Isn't that awesome? Scratch and sniff cards.
Wow. Scratch and sniff cards.
You know, walk around there and be like, oh, this house has some. Go knock on the door and see if you can get in. Oh, my goodness.
See if you smell anything.
That's great.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Well, I have a little interesting video from Huffington Post, and this is about, I know we're kind of jumping all over, but it's the Canada News Hour, we can do that. This is about cannabis and epilepsy. I know, speaking of seizures, right? Cannabis and epilepsy. And here's a lady, Heather Jackson, who started treating her son with Charlotte's Web tincture and has found some miracles. For 9 years, Heather Jackson's son, Zakai, basically lived as a toddler. Zakai's epilepsy caused nearly nonstop seizures, rendering him incontinent and totally dependent on his mother. Today, his health has taken a complete turn for the better, thanks to an elixir called Charlotte's Web. That's the name of a strain of medical marijuana being used to treat children with epilepsy. Jackson turned to the marijuana oil out of sheer necessity after countless attempts to help her son, which included 17 pharmaceuticals, craniosacral therapy, chiropractic adjustments, and others, and they all failed to make a difference. Zakai's seizure started when he was just 4 months old and completely took over his life. They spiraled out of control very quickly. Jackson told HuffPost Live's Ricky Camilleri, he started with maybe a dozen seizures a day, and within several months, he was having hundreds of seizures a day and lived that way for almost a decade. So here's a quick little two-minute video. Let's listen to this. This is the mom actually talking about it. This is really cool. Let's see if this works. That's always the claim here. Let's see if this works. There could be a Geico commercial. Who knows? Oh, boy. Yep. So that didn't work. Let's try something else here.
Oh.
Well, speaking about...
Here it is.
Uses Charlotte's Web. Talk to me about his symptoms and when they began and leading up to when you decided to start using Charlotte's Web.
Sure. Zakai's seizure started when he was 4 months old, so he did not get a whole lot of typical brain development before his seizure started. And they spiraled out of control very quickly. Within a few, he started with maybe a dozen seizures a day, and within several months, he was having hundreds of seizures every day. And he lived that way for almost a decade. We were receiving hospice palliative services before we started Charlotte's Web. He was having seizures in which he would stop breathing. He was having basically a seizure every 2 to 10 minutes while he slept. So his prognosis was very poor at that point. And we came to Charlotte's Web out of sheer necessity. I just didn't know how much longer Zakai's little body could take that. We had been through 17 pharmaceuticals, many alternative treatments, chiropractic, cranial sacral therapy. I mean, we saw an herbalist, an iridologist, you name it. If you wanted to take my money, I would give it to you. I wanted you to save my boy. And we went through that for almost a decade. And
Heather, when you started using Charlotte's Web, when Zakai started taking Charlotte's Web, what did the differences look like that you started to notice?
Right. So Zakai was, 9 years old, very much a toddler, incontinent, couldn't remember his colors, was having a very just difficult time living life. We started Charlotte's Web on July 19th of 2012. He went 48 hours without a seizure immediately. Within 3 days, he was pumping his legs on the swing, which is something I had tried to teach him for 7 years prior. Wow. So that was very, very exciting to me. And then within 3 months, Zakai, he became seizure-free. And tomorrow he'll be 14 months seizure-free. So it has literally put his condition into remission. I don't have any other way to describe that.
Wow. That video was posted just yesterday. That's amazing.
That was a mother of another son, right? That's now using the Charlotte's Web medication.
Yeah, another
Charlotte's mom was actually on the show The Doctors, which is a talk show on Fox News, and the doctors come out and talk. And they actually had Charlotte's mom on there the other day. Charlotte herself could not be there because she can't travel with her medication. So that was one of the other things that they brought up, and they were talking about the laws around it and how things are going to need to start changing, because this is people's medication. This is people's medication that they need to take to other cities, other countries, because they're traveling or for work or whatever. The point is that it needs to happen. And
What are Colorado's rules about having extracts and oils and tinctures and things? Do you know that?
It's all legalized. Everything's legalized there, but she couldn't travel to where the show was being broadcasted at.
Wow.
So the mom was the only one that could go to the show, and then Charlotte had to stay behind because she needs her medication every it's a certain amount. She needs it every so-and-so hours for her not to have a seizure. But the doctors were talking about how they are the information that they had years ago was not the correct information, and things more and more natural medicines are coming out, especially cannabis more than anything, and actually doing things to actually curing people of these different ailments. And they said that they were wrong for a long time, and they talked a little bit about Sanjay Gupta. So I'll pass that interview along to Tumbleweeds, and that way they can post it up on the website.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's really changed the minds of a lot of people. And he's writing more and more articles and doing more and more interviews and videos to support the findings that and the research that he's done to back cannabis up as a medicine. And really, people come in to get certified at Tumbleweeds a week off, and I say what Dr. Courtney and so many other doctors have said, this has only not been a medicine for 70 years. I mean, that's just a blink of an eye, considering the thousands of years that it has been used, and people go, and then they find out our own federal government grows it at the University of Mississippi and gives it out to their patients every month, 300 joints a month to each of their patients. They have patents on the plant. I mean, come on. So it's time to just regulate it all. Where's the Uruguay article? They're about ready to, I think, next Tuesday, they're looking to legalize it altogether. They'll be the first country in the world to legalize it completely for any use whatsoever.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Good for them. That is really awesome.
Yeah.
Belle, I have some more information that I wanted to pass along to you, actually, for the juicing. I know I found an awesome article about juicing, and they're like a step-by-step on what to do, how to use it. I mean, from growing your medicine to showing what you should be plucking off of there every day and putting into your juicing. It talks about how it lowers blood pressure, helps out with patients using blood pressure, birth control, and epilepsy, and antipsychotic need more dietary cannabis serums of CBD levels in their body. So people who have high blood pressure, epilepsy, and antipsychotic psychotic medications need more CB levels in their body for their body to balance out, is what it was saying. And they said juicing with the plants, the leaves, the buds, and everything like that will get those CBDs in high dosages to the stomach, where a lot of the CB1 and CB2 receptors are.
Aha. There you go.
How about that?
Well, that's awesome, and that's why they're probably doing the tinctures and stuff, because it gets it right into your bloodstream so quickly.
Right. It gets into your digestive system, and it starts carrying the CBDs or the cannabinoids where they need to go. And it starts being able to fill in those little holes that those phytocannabinoids can do.
Yeah, and there's a lot. And, you know, what we're learning is that our body has its own endocannabinoid system that regulates many other systems, you know, liver and all sorts of functions. And if it's not upset like every other system properly, then it's not going to run as smoothly as it could. You're not going to feel as good as you could. Maybe that's why we just feel good when we use cannabis in any way, shape, or form. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that is it.
You know, it's just good. Did you see the director's blog that just came out yesterday? Did you get your email?
I did not get my... they send it to me.
Oh.
But I haven't actually... actually, no, I don't get the emails from them.
Yeah, we get emails. We get both.
Cool.
So here's what for December 2013, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Program newsletter. I'll read a little, and maybe we can launch into one of my favorite comics, because I do love to do that. Petitions to add to the debilitating medical conditions list will be accepted again in late January 2014. The list currently includes 8 conditions. Okay, here they are. So whenever the question comes up, what can I get my card for? Here it is. Cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, hepatitis C, ALS, Crohn's disease, and agitation of Alzheimer's disease. And
wow.
A chronic debilitating condition or its treatment may also qualify a patient. A patient with a condition on the list may be certified by a physician to use medical marijuana. So, chronic pain, nausea, things like that. The petitions must include the petitioner's contact information, facts about the conditions and current treatments, and other evidence in order to be considered. ADHS is currently reviewing petitions submitted July 2013 on depression, PTSD, and migraines, and a final decision is expected in January 2014. So there you go. That's pretty cool. And did you know you can check out the Medical Marijuana Program's reports? They include a wide range of information, characteristics of cardholders, doctors, progress of dispensaries, and references to lawsuits are all highlighted in the report. Let's see. They talk about the complaint about AMMA's 25-mile rule, which was rejected by a judge who basically said, you don't have to participate in the program if you don't want to. So, you know, you choose to be a part of this, and this is what the program has to offer. Here's a guideline and clarifications to the statute and rule. Dispensaries have continued to open around Arizona. Patients should be aware that a registered dispensary is not only a place to purchase medical marijuana, but it can also be a great resource for patients. Dispensaries in Arizona are required to have a medical director on site or available by phone anytime the dispensary is open. The medical director is there to offer guidance and answer any questions patients may have. Patients can learn about medical marijuana, find out what types and strains of marijuana may be best for them, and discuss different intake methods and potential side effects. Dispensaries also are responsible for providing education materials in order to provide more information about medical marijuana to patients. State law requires that a dispensary is open at least 30 hours a week. All right. Well, there you have
it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. This is a good little... the little director's blog, they do a little, I don't know about, I didn't read this all the way, research and studies relating to medical use of marijuana. They're actually talking about AIDS. At the time of the book, AIDS was the most commonly reported illness for medical marijuana patients in the United States. The authors predicted that this was partly due to age. Younger populations are more likely to use medical marijuana use or have tried marijuana in the past. Since the population with AIDS is generally younger than those of other diseases, like cancer, more AIDS patients choose to use medical marijuana to ease symptoms. AIDS affects patients in multiple ways. It attacks the immune system and wreaks havoc throughout the body. Marijuana has been said to relieve many of the symptoms from AIDS from which AIDS patients suffer, including loss of appetite, dementia, and nerve damage. Some of the most severe symptoms AIDS patients experience come from the combination therapy they undergo. While the therapy has huge benefits for life expectancy, it often decreases quality of life. Many of the drugs cause nausea, fatigue, loss of appetite, and a handful of other unpleasant and harmful side effects. Many patients claim medical marijuana relieves nausea and vomiting, a common side effect of AIDS treatment. Most commonly, however, is that added benefit as most patients take marijuana-based medicines to prevent wasting syndrome. Weight loss is one of two indications for which the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved the drug for sale. The other is nausea and vomiting associated with cancer chemotherapy. AIDS not only can damage the body, but the disease also commonly has an effect on a patient's emotions and mind. Many AIDS patients claim using marijuana to help with physical illness also improves their symptoms of depression and anxiety, but the results vary among patients. The authors reiterate the harmful side effects of smoking, though, especially for patients with chronic disease or weakened immune system. So find another way to ingest it, but that's pretty cool. There you go. That's a pretty good little blurb about the effects, the positive effects of AIDS. And what happened this weekend, Mr. Kidd?
Well, the Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation, along with some other agencies around Tucson, had World AIDS Day on Sunday, and that was just celebrating HIV and AIDS as for the people and this illness that, you know, hasn't gone away yet. So that was actually at Club Congress this weekend. They had a great turnout. There was a lot of people down there just kind of having a good time and destigmatizing the actual virus itself.
Awesome. And then this is just some great information to go along with that. That's really cool that they printed something that positive. Let's see here. And they always have a common question before they list their dispensary list here. So their question is, I have a past conviction for possession or use of marijuana. Can I still get a qualifying patient registry identification card? The answer is Arizona residents who have a written certification from Arizona licensed physicians can obtain qualifying patient registry identification cards. State law require background checks for prior excluded felony offenses for designated caregivers and dispensary agents. However, if a qualifying patient card has been revoked by ADHS due to a violation of the AMMA, the department may choose to deny any future applications for that individual. So as long as you're compliant with AMMA and you don't have excluded felony offenses, sounds like you're all right to get your card. This is down here. You can come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. There's a gargantuan list of dispensaries open in around town here and in Phoenix and Flagstaff and Eloy, El Mirage, Cottonwood, Coolidge, Williams, Winslow, Yuma, you name it. There is probably a dispensary nearby. And if there isn't, well, bro. Right?
Sure is.
Absolutely. All right. Why don't we bust into one of my favorite songs right now and take a little mini break and listen to the Pot Shop. We'll be right back with more Weed Day Wednesday.
Woohoo!
Puff, 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 puff. I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop. This is fucked.
Walked into my house like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin',
About the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right. I don't know if we're on air. I think we are. I'm getting hidden on by tech guy. Because I'm watching the little seconds right now. Are you there, Cannabis Kid? Okay, hang on. All right, now are you there, Cannabis Kid?
I am here.
Live from Studio Cannabis Kid. Studio CK. Live from there.
So I have that one article that we were talking about earlier, and it says, learn how different strains of cannabis affect you.
Oh, awesome. Bring it.
And this
bring
is
it.
From MaryJane.com. It has a lot of great information out there on new strains, edibles, products, and giveaways, but has a lot of great information if you're trying to educate someone and you're maybe not the best person to verbally talk about cannabis, but you want to pass on a great article, this is definitely one. It kind of talks about how each medical strain helps a person. So actually finding the correct strain for you is always one of those important things that you should start looking at when you become a patient of the MMJ world.
And
so
MaryJane.com. Yeah.
Sorry. www.medicaljane.com.
Oh, okay, cool. Medical Jane.
Yeah.
Like it.
Medical Jane.
Okay, go for it.
So
sorry,
this one's called Understand. No worries. So this one is called Understanding How Each Strain Affects You is Helpful. It seems to go without saying, but each strain of cannabis is bound to have a range of effects all of its own. Of course, strains can be similar in numbers of respects, but no two strains are completely alike. With that said, learning how each strain of cannabis might affect you can go a long way towards utilizing the plant's therapeutic benefits. It should be noted that the individual batches of each strain can vary as well. This due to factors like the plant's phytotype, the observable characteristics, and growth environment. Learning how each strain of cannabis might affect you can go a long way. Being mindful of this can reasonably presume how a particular batch of medical cannabis might affect them, simply by knowing its genetics. This is not an exact science, particularly when it comes to predicting the effects of F1 hybrid like Candyland, which is Granddaddy Purple times Girl Scout Cookie, giving you Candyland.
Oh,
nonetheless, the general, doesn't that sound good? Granddaddy Purple
yeah.
times Girl Scout Cookies. Wow.
Awesome.
I didn't even know that there was a kind out there called Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's really good. Is it sweet?
It is, actually.
Sounds
it's
like it would be sweet.
Super crystally.
Mm-hmm.
Really shiny.
It says, nonetheless, a general understanding of a strain's parents can provide a general idea of what to expect. It typically requires a certain amount of trial and error research for patients to fully understand how different strains affect them. This, of course, can become a problematic for the few new medical marijuana patients in need of reliable pain relief at different times of the day. Finding the right strain for each situation becomes vital. Reliable cannabis strains for the new patients to consider. In an attempt to help new patients determine what strain is right for them, our team has compiled a short list of classic strains that we consider go-to strains for certain situations. They are listed below. So we have Blue Dream, which has been out there for a while. We all know about it now. So it talks about the Blue Dream. It is a floral hybrid. Mm. The Blue Dream strain is one of the most recognizable varieties of cannabis available today. It is a 50-50 hybrid of consisting of blueberry and haze genetics, providing for a mellow relief for the body and mind. This combined with Blue Dream's appealing aroma and flavor makes it a great option for that first-time anxiety patient who are unsure of what strain is best for them. So Blue Dream, always a great one to go to. We have Green Crack. What's that?
No, I was going to say, what did Blue Dream do for you? Because we had a lot of patients that loved the blueberry part of it because it was really good for, like, muscle relaxation. But the haze was really uplifting and euphoric and creative for people. People love that. It's a really great blend. Yeah.
I call it your glass of wine when you get home for work.
Good antidepressant, too.
That's what I would put. I would put Blue Dream in as, like, your glass of wine as soon as you get home from work. That's what that one's going to do to you.
Yeah, like, yep, a little relaxation, a little happy. I like it.
Right,
nice.
Right. You're just getting home. You just need to kind of center out your day and kind of shake it off a little bit. And this Blue Dream will definitely be the one to use.
And you should see the pictures of this. All right, go for Green Crack now. Holy cow. Tell us about that.
Green Crack is a sweet sativa. And it's the Green Crack cannabis strain is a sativa-dominant hybrid. As a result, it has become a staple in the cannabis industry with its racy, energetic effects.
Yeah,
now, I've used this one. I've used this one, and I've gotten the shakes. Now, if you are a person who has very low energy in the morning and you need something to kind of get you going, this would definitely be it because it's the sativa dominant, which is the one that you use during the day that gives you the energy. It said the Green Crack strain would be perfect for patients who prefer to medicate in the morning and or the afternoon. In addition to the boost of energy, it tends to help improve one's level of focus. The effect might be compared to an Adderall in that respect.
Interesting.
So Green Crack, great
energy
for people who energy and focus. We've got Granddaddy Purple, which we talked about earlier, and it's a berry-flavored indica. And unlike Green Crack strain, the Granddaddy Purple, GDP, is beloved for its ability to counter insomnia naturally. It is an indica-dominant hybrid and is effective anxiolytic in addition to its ability to induce sleep. It's a great option for patients suffering from the chronic pain or stress, particularly if planning a medicated night.
Mm-hmm.
So Granddaddy Purple, which is an indica-dominant hybrid.
And often
this would be,
it's actually purple. Sorry to interrupt, but you will actually see
flower
itself is purple. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Just gorgeous, gorgeous bud. Yeah.
And you'll notice that you see these colors and things like this and these flavors that you hear that we're talking about right now, and those are terpenoids. And that's what gives it these flavors and helps the body kind of determine it, along with the cannabinoids and with these working synergistically together. Jack Hare, a frosty sativa. Now, I know we've had that one before when Tumbleweeds was doing medication.
Yeah, all of these we've had, actually.
So they said that these are very typical strains, and you will see these in a lot of dispensaries around the United States that are popping up. So it says the Jack Hare, the Haze strain, is notable for its effectiveness in the morning. Like the Green Crack strain, it tends to improve one's focus and lift their spirits. However, Haze is typically less intense due to this. Varieties of Haze have been used in a plethora of hybrid seed projects. The Jack Hare strain is a great example of a hybrid with heavy Haze influence. So it says down here at the bottom, note that this list are some of the most popular strains in the world, which means that most medical cannabis patients are bound to encounter them at some point of their medical searching.
Absolutely. And if you take this, is what we used to do at Tumbleweed, you take each strain and you can pick out the characteristics and then, you know, like with Blue Dream, it's got some blueberry, it's got some Haze. So if you look on your chart, you see what blueberry does to you, you see what Haze does to you, and you go, oh, okay, I like that one, or no, I don't like that characteristic. You can find something else. This is a great little beginner's kit chart because you'll run into these strains pretty much everywhere you go.
Now, Paul, I wanted to let the patients know out there and any new patients that When using cannabis, I mean, you're finding a strain that works for you. Now, just because it says these things on here, it might have a different effect because, now, I've run into some people who sativa actually helps them go to sleep and an indica wakes them up. That you're not going to know that until you actually try it. And it's just like some medications out there in the world don't work for everyone, and they have to find something else that works. So it's this trial and error kind of thing, but if you're with a bud tender or at a dispensary where they can give you the breakdown of all these different things, then they can definitely help you pick out the best strain for you. And whether the strain is made into a tincture or an edible, that might also work differently on how it works for you.
Yeah, and take notes. Beginning or long-time experience user, take notes on what strains, what they do for you, how they affect you, if you like them, if they don't, so you don't waste your money and time, you know, because you could get characteristics of one strain and another, you might not like it, and there goes your hard-earned money for something that doesn't work for you. But if it doesn't work for you, try something else. Don't give up right away. There are lots of things out there. There's tinctures out there. Yeah?
And ask questions. Ask questions to your bartender. Tell them, you know, talk to them about what your conditions are, what you're feeling every day, and why you're going to be using this medication for what you're using it for. And being just really transparent and letting everyone know what's going on. Maybe you don't have to tell everything, but give them an idea of what to help you with because they're there to help you.
Yeah, and it's always good if you tell them usually, you know, I got my card for fibromyalgia or cancer or whatever, they can usually lead you to a strain that's good for those ailments. So it's helpful to share a little bit, like kid said, you don't have to overshare, but, you know, just give them a little info, and they can help you get the right strain that's best for you. And keep notes. You can do so in the Mary Jane Survival Guide. They have a little section for note keeping. And if you want to find out about news and culture, you can check out Culture Magazine, too. Come down to Tumbleweed Health Center for all sorts of cool free magazines that will give you information on strains, reviews, characteristics, journals, etc. Right on. That's a great, great article. There's a lot of beginners and a lot of older people that are coming to cannabis for the first time in their lives, and they don't want to smoke it. They don't know anything about it. You know, we've done this for a little while now, and we seem to think that people just know what we know, and they don't. They come in brand new like we were a couple years ago, and they go, wow, I didn't know that, or holy cow, that's TMI. I need a class. You can come down to Nurse Mary D's class, and which is Tuesday, 2:45 to 3:15, and 3:15 to 3:45, a free little mini course, the basics of Marijuana 101. Come down and check it out. What's going on with Holy Smokes, kids?
This month, it's going to be a little bit rough this month. Just be able to get in because, Tumbleweeds is Monday through Friday now. And usually we were there on the weekends. But, if there's people that are interested, I would love to hear from them. And we could definitely get something together as far as, a little meeting place at Tumbleweeds so people can kind of check out the product. We were talking about the strains earlier and what's best for you. Well, Holy Smokes uses just 100% terpenoids in their product. There's no cannabinoids, but it can be used together. So if you use your cannabis and then go ahead and vape on your Holy Smokes, you're going to definitely get that synergistic effect that we were talking about earlier with the terpenoids and the cannabinoids together. Tumbleweed is carrying Holy Smokes now. They have starter kits starting at $65 all the way up to couples kits that are $140 with aphrodisiac tonics that are already in there. Contact Tumbleweeds or myself, and we can get you started on vaping some Holy Smokes.
Awesome. Yeah, they're wonderful. And they've got little cute little mini Holy Smokes pens that we'll have down here soon. They're awesome.
Yeah, those come in the starter kit.
Really cute, yeah. We have down here, in addition to that, we've got some other little mini Atmos vaporizers you can use with dry herb. If you don't have tincture, you can put your dry herb right in there and use them. We've got some new accessories in stock, some beautiful new bongs. They're really pretty. You should come check those out. We've got the Sherlock / Gandalf pipe. Everybody loves those. You know, they're super long and they fill the chamber full of air so you get a nice smooth hit. And we've got some holiday certification specials coming up, so watch your emails and check Facebook and check our website and all that stuff. And I think next weekend is the normal meeting. Is that right? The second Saturday?
Yes. Saturday at the Ward 6 building.
Yes, it says you can join medical marijuana patients, advocates, and caregivers, dispensary professionals, and the public as AZ for Normal holds free public meetings. Everyone's welcome. They will be held 3 p.m. Ward 6 Council office is located at 3202 East 1st Street. It's one block east of Country Club and one block south of Speedway. It's a little tricky to find, but get down there because the meetings are great. I think there might be some tumbleweeders down there next weekend checking it out and listening in and speaking up and seeing what's going on down there. They're really great meetings, so you should all check those out.
And if you're wanting to get more involved with the cannabis movement, this is definitely the way to go. A lot of information on how to get started, on what you can do as a patient or even just a supporter of medical cannabis and getting out there and helping get these laws passed that we so desperately need to be passed.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center Monday through Friday and sign the legalization forms that we have for the 2014 ballot, which as we heard, is trying to get passed. That would be so awesome. Five plants, that's pretty cool. You can do a lot with five plants. Autumn,
yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
You can can juice. And you can have your own medication. It's definitely a step forward in the right direction.
It sure is. Should we read a little bit of Hempathy? I know you're not here, but and it's kind of sad. Yeah. Do you have a Hempathy book at home?
I don't have a Hempathy book at home.
I need to get you one.
I do.
Well, check this out. This book is great. We've been reading this for a long time now, but we'll keep reading it because it's fun. And if you're not listening every single show, then you'll miss some pages here. But this is a book about hemp. It says, Hempathy, Food for Thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects, and we need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the destruction of research and the criminalization of a useful, beautiful plant. Like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared. So you can go to www.why-whynot.net. So this says, in describing the little pictures here, we've got a Y, and it's a really nasty, looks like an L.A. freeway. Sorry, L.A., it just looks like it. I lived there for a while, I can explain that. Yeah, nasty, just this Hummer is about to run over a motorcyclist. It's smoky, dark, there's skeletons in the clouds, it's just bad. It says, why environmentally devastating vehicles? The world consumes, and this was in 2010 when it was written, 30 billion barrels of oil per year. The U.S. has been the biggest guzzler by far, but China and other nations are using more oil as their industries develop. U.S. automobiles and light trucks are responsible for nearly half of all greenhouse gases emitted by automobiles globally, according to a new study by the Environmental Defense Fund. Cars and trucks made by GM gave off 99 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, or 31% of the total. Ford vehicles emitted 25% of the total. Chrysler vehicles emitted 16%, according to the report. That's nasty. That's just, yeah, that's some world, that's bad, bad, bad. Okay, on the opposite side here, we've got a picture of beautiful, this looks like Napa Wise Rough, rolling hills, green hills, butterflies, blue skies. We've got some hippies in their environmentally awesome cars, little butterflies flying around. The medium here says, why not green machines? Rudolf Diesel, 1858 to 1913, developed the first internal combustion engine to run on peanut oil, as he demonstrated at the World Exhibition in Paris in 1900. Unfortunately,
wow.
He died in 1913 before his vision of an engine powered by vegetable oil was fully realized. The use of vegetable oils for engine fuels may seem insignificant today, but such oils may become, in the course of time, as important as petroleum and coal tar products of the present time. When Henry Ford recently unveiled his plastic car, result of 12 years of research, he gave the world a glimpse of the automobile tomorrow. Its tough panels molded under hydraulic pressure of 1,500 pounds per square inch from a recipe that calls for 70% cellulose fiber from wheat straw hemp and 30% resin binder. The only steel in the car is its tubular welded frame. The plastic car weighs a ton, 1,000 pounds lighter than a comparable steel car. Manufacturers are already talking of a low-priced plastic car to test the public's taste by 1943. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Way to go, Ford, but what happened? Peanut oil and vegetable oil. So, well, there you go. Rudolf Diesel, his ideas are becoming realized just a little bit later on in time, huh? But good. Right, kid?
It is very good.
It is very good. We need more green machines in the world and just more green. Imagine if we more hemp and products like that in this country and in this world. We would save air, money, environment. We would give jobs to the gajillions of people. And imagine the smiles on everyone's faces as they go off to work to, oh, I got to go trim plants today, or I'm pruning today, or I'm curing. I'm helping with the curing today. What a bad day.
Well, you know what I think. I think everyone should use cannabis, whether they, if they smoke it, if that's their way of consumption, drinking it, making it into shakes, putting it in a tincture, making it into edibles. The point is getting that endocannabinoid system up and running again to balance out the other systems in your body. That's the most important thing that we can do as human beings right now, is just get some kind of cannabinoids in your system to kind of boost that endocannabinoid system and
absolutely
get it going. It only takes a little bit.
Yeah.
And some people need more. Some people don't need a lot at all. But getting that endocannabinoid system up and running will be the best thing that you've ever done to your body.
Oh, amen to that. I love it. Thank you, cannabis.
You're welcome.
Well, we would like,
I swear, if you do switch it, sorry,
go,
I'm getting excited again.
I know, do it.
Yeah, the juicing with it is, I said, well, we've talked about one of being one of the best ways because it actually going down into the stomach and the gut system where a lot of those, the receptors are. And so juicing with it or drinking it or eating it is really one of the best ways of getting those cannabinoids into the system.
Well, and you want to be able to consume the entire plant. You know, we can go into a whole new study, I mean, a whole
right, conversation. Right.
The benefits of juicing, but just do it. Get your cannabis on. Have a wonderful day.
Yep.
We would like to thank all of you for joining us this morning. We say Wednesday. Be safe out there in the holidays. Pay attention. Be present when you're driving. We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio, Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, AZMarijuana.com, Tumbleweeds Health Center, Studio C, and Studio CK. A wonderful.
Well, thanks, Bell. Thank you, Bell, for everything that you do.
Oh, my pleasure, Cannabis Kid. It's always fun, always an adventure. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Woo-hoo! Have a great day, y'all.
Take care, everyone. Bye.